We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Notre Dame fans, welcome to a special edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. It's Friday night, Ryan. It's a little after 6 o'clock, and you know what that means. It's Micah Bell time. Notre Dame has landed Houston Kincaid standout cornerback Micah Bell, who just committed to Notre Dame on Twitter. Ryan, let's just get into it, man. This is a big, big time. I mean, look, y'all, we're rocking out the double gap closer shirt tonight, okay? Because this kid, in so many different ways, Ryan, has checked boxes for Notre Dame. And we'll dive into all of that during the show. But this is just kind of big picture, Ryan.
Yep.
This is huge for Notre Dame in so many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. When you think about it, for one, first cornerback in the class now since the Justin Redtke commitment, that is an obvious need when we're talking about the numbers. Notre Dame wants to get to two corners at least in this class. That's the number that we know for sure. So you made half your needs on this one commitment, which is fantastic. And then why it's such a bigger deal is that this kid is really, really talented. Like we were just talking before we started of just the track background he has. I mean, this kid's a sub 2,100 meter, 200 runner. He's a 10-300 meter guy, and he is also out of the state of Texas. So when you put all those things together, Notre Dame got a dynamic defensive back, position of need, out of a state that they are making an absolute priority here moving forward. So in all those ways, Micah Bell is truly a gap closer.
I think the cornerback aspect of it, you know, you talked about getting to maybe more than two. I looked at that as sort of a luxury. And you wanted two for sure. But the big thing is, and we'll get into the class impact of this a little bit, it was the impact was needed to be there. And this is such a unique kid. And here's, look, the rest of this show, we're going to talk a lot about his speed. He's got truly elite speed. You know, that word gets kind of thrown around a lot, you know, maybe sometimes when it shouldn't. This kid has elite speed. And we'll tell you, we'll give you some numbers as to back that up. But this is also a kid that had offers from Harvard, Vanderbilt, Stanford, Duke, and you have to get those kind of kids. He's an emerging prospect. He's a guy that's kind of really climbed up the rankings here this spring to the point where he's a top 100 commit or top 100 player on 247. He's a borderline top 100 player by ESPN and Rivals. Had offers from Texas, Tennessee. I mean, big time player, Ryan. But his recruitment was a little interesting because this is a kid that Notre Dame did not offer him till like mid-March. Yeah. And this is a guy that got on a little bit late. And again, it just kind of adds to, he didn't just break out for Notre Dame. He was kind of a breakout for a lot of people. And part of it was his brother. His brother Dylan was kind of considered the guy for them last year, even though he didn't necessarily have the production that Micah did and just as a rushing guy. But his brother Dylan, who signed with Georgia, mm-hmm. you know, was – and Micah's a smaller, skinnier kid. I think that kind of – maybe mask him a little bit, you know, to what he could be. But, you know, this is a kid that obviously broke out this spring, and it was partly on the track, you know, because of his track results. But Ryan, this is a kid that was a 1,000-yard running back in high school. And then I know we're going to have a lot of people are going to ask about the offensive part, but you know, you can really see that legit speed when this kid's playing offense. And
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My wife is the coffee drinker in our house. So when I told her about trying out Trade Coffee, she was curious. When I told her that if she answered the survey Trade sent me, they could match her with brands she would like, she was downright skeptical. We ended up getting 3 different shipments from 3 regional coffee makers. And let me tell you, she was blown away. My coffee snob wife loved each and every new blend that she got. As a non-coffee drinker myself, I must admit, opening up the cabinet and getting a whiff of her most recent blend was aromatically pleasing. Trade sells the freshest roasted and ethically sourced beans from America's best independent roasters. They ship free to you and as often as you like, whole or ground. Whether you're a coffee connoisseur like my wife or just want a better daily cup, Trade's real coffee experts taste test over 400 roasts and use technology to match you to your ideal coffee based on your preferences and brewing method. Take the coffee quiz to get started. Trade Coffee guarantees you'll love your first bag or they'll replace it for free. And right now for Irish Breakdown listeners, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of 30 off your first order plus shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/Irish. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started when taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/Irish and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/Irish for $30 off. You know, when you talked to him, Ryan, you know, before the visit and after the visit, you know, what really was it about Notre Dame that made this the move for Micah Bell, in your opinion? You know, the things that he loved about Notre Dame, what allowed them to go from not even being on his radar in mid-March to by July 1st, he's in the class? And it hasn't been in doubt for like a month.
I know.
I mean, you know, so what was it?
It's really interesting, Brian, because, I mean, even leading up to that visit, we were kind of like, this is trending really well. Like, I don't know if anybody could even be considered a real contender here right now, kind of going into that visit. And then he takes the visit. And the weird part is that, you know, he drops the top 10, says, hey, I'm committing on July 1st. But then you never hear any other visits that were lined up, right? Like, it was just Notre Dame, which was bizarre.
He ended up going to Houston, which is like in his hometown. He's from Houston.
Sure.
But it was just but like the point is he didn't announce it. He just put some pictures after the visit on his Instagram page.
Right. Right. You know exactly. I mean? Yeah. And obviously, you know, flying all the way up to Notre Dame and just going to local Houston's a little bit different, obviously, too. Right. So it's something where when I talk to Micah, and he's a different type of dude, honestly, because most corners you kind of think of are like very extremely talkative, are guys that, you know, kind of, you know, are a little confidence on their sleeves type of players, right? Micah Bell is very quiet, unassuming. He doesn't really have that aura of a corner traditionally, to be honest. But he knew exactly what he valued in making this decision. And judging by not only his words, but also by his actions of the top 10 schools he dropped, high academic kid. Right. I mean, we've talked about this a bunch. He had Vanderbilt. He had Harvard. He had Stanford. He had all the high academic institutions that you think of in the country on his final top 10 that were also included with, you know, places like Tennessee and Texas and, you know, the mixture of those teams as well. But the high academic part is, I think, the biggest thing for me. And, you know, it was just he fell in love quickly with the staff. And I really think after that visit, it was done at that point. You know, like everyone knew where he was going to go at that point.
I mean, you're talking about, like I said, a kid from Houston, Texas, that has an offer from Harvard. And the fact that he included Harvard in his top 10, we kind of made a joke about this. When he listed his top 10, it was like 2-5, it was like 5-5, like polar opposites. It was like Michigan State, it was Texas, Tennessee, Michigan State, Baylor, and I keep forgetting the fifth school. And then on the other side, it was like Notre Dame, Duke, Stanford, you know, Harvard, Vanderbilt, you know what I mean? It was just like, okay, that's an interesting group. Like, you don't see that very often, you know? Well,
honestly, as soon as he dropped that top 10, I hadn't even talked to him at that point too much, you know, like just some exchanging of DMs. And, you know, we did like a feature article on him before that or whatever. But I hadn't really talked to him serious, because that was the first time that we knew exactly what the timeline was, right? Mm-hmm. But as soon as I saw that grouping, I'm like, my man's going to Notre Dame. Like, you know it. I mean, you just saw the group of schools. You're just like, you know, we already liked Notre Dame. Right. And the fact that he included all those high academic institutions, it was just like, yeah, that's probably a little bit of a dead giveaway. All I needed at that point was CJ Carr to tweet out a little shamrock and at Michael Bell. And then that probably would have been the end of it.
Yeah. Well, and he gave a comment to you before his visit, you know, in a preview article you did with him before the visit. He said, like, you know, Coach Freeman and Coach Mickens, he said, just were on him constantly. He said, they talked to me all the time. And the direct comment was, they made me feel wanted. They really, he said, and have made me really feel wanted. You know, and that was a big part of it too, was, you know, when you get on a kid late, and again, now in the world we live in now, getting on a kid March before his senior year is considered late. You know, that's just the reality of it. Getting on a kid late, you've got to put in the work. And Mike Mickens certainly did that. Marcus Freeman did that. Chad Bowden's done that. And this staff made this young man a big time priority. And now he's in the class. And that is huge for Notre Dame. Let's talk next, Ryan, about kind of the class view of, like, what does this mean for the Notre Dame class? And for me, you know, Micah checks a lot of boxes and you know, from numbers, impact, Texas, a lot of different things.
We didn't even talk about the return ability too. I mean, he could all special teams pretty early on.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. And that'll be part of it as well. Number one, the corner need. So the need coming in was two. We had talked early that they could get away with one, because you had three in 2000, you had three players in 2000 in the 21 class. The fact is even though Clarence Lewis played as a freshman, it didn't count because it was the COVID year. And so he technically could still has 3 years of eligibility remaining. You know, we talked about this current freshman class, Ryan Barnes, Phillip Riley, and Chance Tucker. They all redshirted. They're technically going to have 4 years left. And then, of course, you had an outstanding duo of Jaden Mickey and Benjamin Morrison. So you could get away with one in that class. Now, even if you could get away with it, two was the ideal number. You wanted to get to two.
Yeah.
And so Justin Redd on the board early. He went off. You had to get two. And the thing about it is they took a little bit of a risk, because there was really only three corners left on the board, you know, in the last couple months. And it was Micah Bell, Christian Gray, and Josiah Wagner. I mean, Caleb Presley wasn't super interested. They had kind of dropped some other guys that were on the board early. You know, this was one where you're putting a lot of your eggs in the Micah Bell, Christian Gray bucket, you know, basket. And of course, to get him, I thought he getting him was obviously a big one. So numbers wise, two is good, but more important than numbers, you needed impact talent, because you landed five guys who will enter the 22 season with 4 years of eligibility remaining. All five guys of the last two classes have 4 years left of eligibility. It wasn't so much the numbers. You needed to add impact talent. And that's the first area where he but we're not going to talk about him each, because I think you can't talk about his impact talent with also talking about there was a need to continue improving the speed at the position. There's like long guys like Cam Hart who can actually run, you know, Ryan Barnes, Phillip Riley is physical. You know, there's Jaden Mickey's quick and athletic and, you know, Benjamin Morrison's long and big. Some of these guys can run, but there was a need to start really trying to get, when you can, just a higher level of speed. So right. Impact, talent, speed, those are two big boxes that Micah Bell checks that were even more important than, to me, the two. Because if you could get two and they're not impact potential talents, then I don't think you necessarily met your need in this class.
Well, the wide receiver position in college and the NFL just keeps getting faster and more populated. Like, there's just so many wide receivers I feel like come out of college every single year. It's because everybody wants to play wide receiver. And I think that has hurt kind of the development of defensive backs at times, right? Especially the cornerback position. And when you look at Micah Bell, I mean, not only does he have enough size to be a very good football player, but he also has that game-breaking speed. Like, that's the difference for me. This kid, from day one, even with imperfect technique, is going to be able to turn and run with just about anybody. Like, you're not going to be able to really throw it over his head. Like, that's just not going to be a thing. Now, there is, of course, maturation that needs to happen, but the point of the matter is that that is a trump card, man. Like, that is a way that can get you onto the field. If you know, hey, he's got some room to grow, we need to develop the technique side of everything, but we know for one thing, the kid is ultra talented and has incredible speed. Like, that is something, to your point, that you need a little bit of injection into that room. Because, I mean, Cam Hart might be a 4-4 something type of athlete at 6'2.5". And there might be another couple good athletes in the group as far as long speed is concerned, but you don't have a kid like this, right? Like, you don't have a kid that may be a legitimate 4-3 type of athlete. Like, he may be that guy when you're talking about his track times kind of translating to the testing numbers, right? So rare type of speed and athleticism for Micah Bell. And the best part of it is we haven't even seen close to the ceiling, because he's asked to do so much at running back in high school, where he averages almost 9 yards a carry. He doesn't play a ton of defense, right? But right. The defense that he does play is high quality, which is also very intriguing. But the fact of the matter is, when this type of profile out of this state, Micah Bell's ceiling is almost limitless, in my opinion.
So you talked about the speed, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to put that into context. And we'll dive into the film and we'll dive into the game a little bit. But here's the commit story that we did on Micah Bell. I want to pull this up because when I did this, because, you know, look, you always want to say, boy, this guy's really fast, but just how fast? So I wanted to do some research here. So, you know, I would say probably the best track athlete that Notre Dame has signed in the last decade, if not 20 years, was Troy Pride. Outdoor track. Chris Tyree was an indoor track guy. So it's a little harder to compare Micah Bell and Chris Tyree, because I don't believe Micah Bell has done indoor. He's been an outdoor guy, and Chris Tyree was an indoor guy, I believe. But when you look at Braden or Troy Pride was an outstanding track guy and state champion in South Carolina in the 100-meter dash, the 200-meter dash. And had some really outstanding times. And here, especially in the 100, he was even better in the 100. Troy Pride won the South Carolina State Championship as a senior with a 10.55. That's moving, Ryan. That's a really good track time. Troy Pride then went to the NFL Combine and ran a 4.4 flat, and people were disappointed by it, okay? Remember? I mean, they were just like, he only ran a 4.4 flat. People talk about maybe he sets a record and all this kind of stuff, okay? So that was his track time as a senior. His personal best of 10.55 he did as a senior at the state championship match, okay? Micah Bell, as a junior, has beaten that at least five times. He has a wind-aided 10.3. Take that away, because I don't necessarily love putting those. But his official best time, which he ran at a state championship meet this past year, was a 10.41. At the event where he won the state championship, there was another event that he ran where he did a 10.64 and a 10.46. I think I might have this backwards. No, he ran the 10.46 is what he ran at in the state championship. Mm-hmm. The 10.41 came earlier in the year at another event. So he ran a 10.41 early in the year. He ran a 10.45 last year. He ran a 10.53 last year. And then he ran a 10.3, a wind-aided 10.3 as a sophomore.
Crazy.
So he had that time of 10.46 in the state championship. I believe a state championship. was the last event he ran. There was only two other runners that were below an 11:15. The next closest guy was a 10:62. The next closest guy after that was a 10:86.
And so, this is also in the state of Texas.
Just correct.
This in context, yeah.
Correct. I mean, it is just an insane, insane time. And so he went out and ran a 10:41, which is blistering time. And so when I look at this kid, you look at it and you say, man, you know, this guy's got something special. Well, and he's not just a sprinter, like straight line sprinter. He also won a championship as a junior in the 200 meter dash, and he ran a 20.89. Now again, Troy Pride won the South Carolina 200 meter state championship. Troy Pride's best time was a 21.28. Braden Lindsay was a state champion in the state of Oregon 2 years in a row and was also considered a really good track guy, who's considered a 4.4 guy. His personal best in the 200 meter dash was 21.34. He won the state championship with a 21.49, but his personal best time was 21.34. And Micah Bell smoked that at 20.89. Yes. I just want, and again, Troy Pride ran a 4.4 flat at the NFL scouting combine. And so when you put those numbers into context of other guys that we know to be elite athletes and to be elite speed guys, it really puts it into, I mean, it really shows you something. It really kind of is like, wow, this guy's got something special. And, you know, there are some things that we can maybe compare him to, like a Chris Tyree, for example. The one thing Chris Tyree did is a long jump, mm-hmm. and his best long jump was 21.11, which is pretty good, right?
Yeah, 21.11 is good, yeah.
Right. Micah Bell this past year had a personal best of 24.5.
Which is a very good one.
Yep. Yes.
24.5 is very good.
Also won the championship at that same event where he won the 100 and 200.
So not only is that, and what does that matter, right? Because you're talking about the 100 speed, 200 speed. That's the long speed, obviously. But the long jump is also short area explosiveness.
Yes.
Like, there is a lot of pop in that lower half to just kind of illustrate why that matters.
He finished at the event where in question. He finished first in the 100 meter dash, first in the 200 meter dash. He ran over a 24 foot trip long jump. Mm-hmm. At the same event, he finished second with an over 45-foot triple jump, and they also, along with his brother, won the 100-meter 4x100 relay.
Mm-hmm.
And he also competed in the 4x400 relay. That's a lot of events for one day, and he had phenomenal times at all of them. You know, so this kid has got elite speed. Now, here's the key, though, Ryan. That's fine. The track coach is probably going to be excited to maybe get this kid on their board. We have seen track guys that can't play football.
Sure.
That's the thing, is this is all great and the speed is great, but does that speed translate to the football field? The answer is yes.
Oh, yes.
It does. It does. Yeah. And that's the big thing.
Yeah. I mean, literally, before we even knew the track times, I remember when we both watched it and we were kind of just texting back and forth. We're like, oh, that guy mm-hmm. can move a little bit, man. Like, that is, that's some speed, you know? And then you look into for me, it's all about verification, right? I saw that speed on film. I'm like, what? And then I saw the track times. I'm like, that makes sense. That makes complete sense that he's mm-hmm. a great track runner, because he is incredibly fast on a football field. There's a huge difference, huge indication, because like you're saying, there's some guys that can run incredible times in the 100 meter, but then they don't play fast, right? Like, right. It just doesn't translate. Yep. This translates to the football field. You'll see him as a running back, and when we get to the film, the minute the kid breaks into the open, it's gone. He's out. There's no chance. No chance.
And it's easy.
Yes.
Like, that's where – like, that's the thing, is we talked about this the other day. You don't just want a guy that's fast. You want a guy that's effortless with his speed. And that's the thing about him is – and that's the thing about Chris Tyree. There's times where Chris Tyree doesn't necessarily look like he's moving that fast. And then you kind of watch him pull away from people and like, oh, he actually is moving that fast. But he's a track guy, so he's smooth. He's fluid. He's efficient. He's not like, you know, straining kind of thing. And Micah certainly has that. I mean, he certainly brings that to the table. It's a very effortless speed. So it doesn't even look like there's one where he gets the corner and you're like, okay, he's not even – doesn't even – I mean, there's no way he's going to get it. And then it goes, right? And you see that. It's like, oh, that guy might have an angle on him running up the middle. And you're like, nope, he's gone. So that's obviously a big part of the class impact. is getting the speed, improving the speed. Yep. Then the final piece too is, look, we talked about this. Notre Dame really, really, really wanted to make Texas a bigger priority in this recruiting class. And you've now gotten a third kid from the state of Texas. And this is a big one because Houston is a little different area. It's a little tougher to get kids out of Houston to Notre Dame. It just is. It has been. So this is not only a third kid from Texas, but you got a kid from Houston. And Ryan, I mean, we can't say enough. And they're not done yet. They're going to try to get at least one more guy from Texas when you talk about Jaden Greathouse. Mm-hmm. But to be able to, in your first shot at trying to go down there, to get three players from Texas. But the bigger thing is you got three athletes. You didn't get a linebacker, defensive lineman, right. You know, offensive tackle. You got three elite skill players. Mm-hmm. And we could argue, I mean, honestly, it's not even an argument. It's just a proven fact. Braylon James is the slowest of the group. You think about that.
4.47.
He ran a 4.47. Peyton Bowen ran a 4.38 at Notre Dame's combine. Sure. That their camp last year. That's one of the reasons they loved him so much. Ran a 4.38. Then they made him run it again, and he ran a 4.41. He's not as fast as Micah Bell.
No.
And he's faster. And that's the thing. Braylon James at a 4.47. Now, Braden's also the biggest of the three. But at a 4.47, Braylon James is the slower of these three guys. I mean, that is the biggest thing for me, is that is huge for Notre Dame to be able to go down to Texas and get elite skill players. That is a huge check mark when you talk about the impact on this class.
You mean you can get really good players out of the state of Texas? Who would have thought that that would ever happen, right? I mean,
if you try.
Right, exactly. I mean, right. Because, I've mentioned this before, the piece I did about Notre Dame's recruiting in Texas. Five previous cycles before Marcus Freeman, they had gotten three recruits that have come from the state of Texas in 5 years. This is their third recruit in this class, right? And that is a huge number. And like you're saying, Brian, we know that typically speaking anyway, I mean, they just got Charles Jagasaw, for instance, right?
Right.
You can usually get really good offensive linemen out of the North. That's usually not a problem. We all know, though, where the skill guys typically right. come from. Florida, Texas, we get that, right? And Notre Dame was able to go down here in the state of Texas, in Houston, like you said, which is a place that isn't the easy place to recruit out of right. if you're Notre Dame. And they go down and they get not a really fast player, not just a really good football player in general, but one of the best athletes in the 2023 class. Like, make no mistake about it. We're not talking about one of the best athletes, just a cornerback. I would put Micah Bell athletically up against just about anyone. He mm-hmm. has incredible, incredible upside. So it was imperative to get into Texas. It was imperative to get some athleticism to this degree. And Notre Dame got to check both those boxes, all in a very high priority state now for them moving forward.
I'm trying to remember. I know they got Nana Osafa-Mensa. They got Hunter Spears in the same class. Who was the third guy from Texas?
I will look it up. Was Brock Wright?
Brock Wright. Would he have been in the 5 years though? He was 2017. Was he part of the? I'm trying to remember like what the scope of the breakdown you did.
I thought I went to 2022. I could be wrong.
No, I mean like how far back did you go?
So, I went 10 years. So I think
2000. So they got Nana in 19. So they hadn't signed anyone from Texas since 2019. They got Nana and Hunter Spears. And then 2017, they got Avery Davis and Brock Wright. In 2015, they got Jalen Guyton. So 15 on, they got five guys in 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22. Five guys in 7 years. If you go back even further than your time frame of 5 years. Five yep. guys in 7 years, if you can go back further than that. But here's the thing, right? It's defensive lineman, quarterback, tight end. You know, if you go back even further, Jalen Guyton was a receiver, but he wasn't like a really elite athlete. He was a good player, but not an elite athlete. But it's Grant Blankenship, defensive lineman, Colin Hill, defensive lineman, Nick Watkins, corner. You just hadn't been able to get a lot of the skill. And some of the skill they were able to get way back at the beginning, it's like a lot of weird things with Notre Dame. Like, they actually did pretty good in Texas early on under Brian Kelly, and then it went away. And it just – these things never made sense to me, Ryan. Like, you know, they got Corey Robinson Torrey Hunter and Durham Smythe in one class. And then the next year they get Nick Watkins. And then after that, like, you know, Jalen Guyton. And then after that, you no skill, you're like just Avery Davis. That was it. I mean, it's like, it's so weird. But this staff said, we're going to make Texas a priority. And they went down and got a really talented kid, a really dynamic kid. And the interesting thing, too, of why Texas is so important, I don't know why it is. I'm not trying to make a commentary on why. But what I do know, however, is that there seems to be a lot of kids that are better academic fits in Texas than perhaps and Georgia than what you're seeing in like a state like Florida. I don't know why that is, but that's just the reality of it. And I think that's also what makes Texas an important state for Notre Dame. So when you look at the class impact, Ryan, this is a very, very important thing for Notre Dame to be able to get a kid like Micah Bell, because to be able to check all, I mean, impact, numbers, Texas, speed. I mean, there's literally not a box that this kid doesn't check when you talk about what Notre Dame is looking for in the 2023 class.
And they're starting the pipeline. I mean, to go back to our Texas conversation, right? It's, they have put people on notice in the state of Texas now, and programs that you typically do well in the state of Texas, they're now like, oh, Notre Dame is a threat here. And I think the interest from the recruit side was a lot higher than maybe the previous staff had knowledge of, right? And I think we're seeing that obviously here with this now three commits in one class. I mean, we might get to four. And who knows if it even increases after that. I mean, it's very possible. So
we do feel good about Notre Dame's ability. We do feel good about their chances to get Jaden Greathouse.
Absolutely.
Who's from Texas. So, I mean, we're not going to hide that. We've said that before, so we can say that.
Sure.
I mean, like you said, they're not done yet. For those who didn't see, this was Micah's commitment on Twitter. So this is kind of what he did there. There were some people I think that were a little bit, thought that this was going to be, he was going to go live. There was never any thought of, there was never any discussion for him to go live. We were going to go live. So if we run clear on that, we apologize, but we were not going to carry anything because he wasn't doing anything publicly. So we waited till he made his decision, then started the show. And he was pretty prompt at 6 o'clock. I mean, it was like right at 6 o'clock when he made his tweet. So, but you've had a chance to talk to Micah Bell. Neither of us are surprised that he did this via tweet instead of going on a TV show. That's not his personality.
No, isn't it so funny that we had Jagasaw yesterday, now Micah Bell, and they're basically the same like style as far as like how they handle their business. You know, like they don't talk to too much media. I mean, we've had the luxury of talking to both of the guys in the past, obviously, but like they don't really like the media process, right? Like, they don't like the recruitment process. They don't really put their business out there a ton. He literally tweets like once in a blue moon. And I mean, he said like, I'm committing this Friday at this time. Cool. Here's my tweet. Right. And there's no like fluff to Micah Bell, right? Like he's very straightforward oriented in the sense that like he understands what Notre Dame can provide for him. Like he understands the process. The 4 for 40 was something that he mentioned to me in the past. Like he knows what Notre Dame can give to him. And it's, I'm not surprised at all that Micah Bell was just like, nah, I don't need to go on CBS Sports. Like I'm good. Like I'm good. You know, like I'll drop this and I'll go have time with my siblings and my mother and all that type of stuff. So good for him, man. And it's a very non-assuming young man, which is great to see as well.
I'm trying to find something because I'm hoping that this is on YouTube because he put his 200 meter, the championship he won in the 200 meter. He put it on Twitter and it's not super clear, so I want to see if it's on Twitter on YouTube, or maybe it is a little bit more clear. But if it's not clear, then we'll pull it up because it's insane. It looks like it's not clear, but you guys are going to get a chance to see this because this is absolutely absurd, right? So let me pull this up. This is the 28.9 he ran. So let me pull this up, Ryan.
Which again, sub 21 is insane, but yeah. Do we know what lane he's in, Brian?
You're going to find out here. I think he's at the top.
Gotcha.
It's going to be obvious, like, from jump. You guys figured out which guy he is yet?
Yep. I think it was lane 3. Yep, there he goes. See ya. That's insane, man. That's a championship heat, too, you said, right? Like,
this is the championship round where he won the 28.9. Insane. That's absolutely insane. I mean, that's the thing. He doesn't have someone pushing him. That's the thing. Like, he's just
Look at that acceleration out off of the curve, man.
Yeah. Like, such once he hit the curve, he just, it's smooth. It's clean.
That pops on film. And I think sometimes when you're watching his film, you can underestimate the speed for a second. You're just like, oh, he's just so controlled. Like, it's fun to watch. Yeah. Man. It's really fun to watch.
Somebody asked if he has Olympic ambitions. I don't know if 10-4-1 puts him on that level yet.
He would
need to make a jump, in my opinion.
You have to get close to, to qualify, you have to be right around 10 flat. The 28.9, though, is more interesting. That kind of gets you somewhat close. Like, I think Usain Bolt has that 200 record, too. It's like 19-something, but, like, he was also an alien, so we don't count him too much. But 28.9 is a silly, silly time for a junior in high school.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually try to look up and see if I can find the best 100-meter time this year. Is a kid from Texas. He ran a 10.08. So there are, they kind of mark it out here after 25 guys, but the top 25, the top 25, this is according to athletic.net. Yep. The 25th ranked guy in the 100 meter dash was a 10.29.
It's crazy.
I'm looking through these. I don't see any football players. A lot of these guys are seniors, of the top 10, see, 7 or 8 of them are seniors. So, I mean, he would get faster.
Sure.
One of them was actually Brennan Thompson is the only football player on here that I recognize. And then if you go to 200, and this was in the 2022 cycle. If you go to the 200, this is where he's a little closer. The 25th guy was a 20.85. This is nationally, top 25 nationally. The best was 20.35. So
that's moving, man.
Yeah, kid from Mississippi.
Moving.
Yeah. And so, but he 20.89 doesn't put him far off being a top 25 guy. And that's pretty elite stuff. But 10.41 is moving for a football player, but it's not like Olympic where you got to worry about him being a guy that's going to leave for the Olympics kind of thing. I don't think it's not quite that, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Sure. So Ryan, We've talked about the class impact. We've talked about, what he means to the class. Obviously, from a ranking standpoint, I think this is good. This is big, right?
Yeah.
You landed a top 100 caliber player, obviously 2-4. It's going to help them on the 247 rankings, obviously, because they landed a guy that ranks for them a top number 55 overall player in the country.
Not on the ESPN ranking, unfortunately.
No, it's on 3 is the bad one.
I know. Oh, yeah. It's on 3 the one that's
on 3 is the bad one. Yeah, he's 118th in the country on their consensus because of how highly ranked he is by other people.
Gotcha.
But he's a 3-star for them. So, crazy. Yeah, he's pretty moving, pretty good. Notre Dame has in fact jumped back ahead of Ohio State. So Ohio State went over Notre Dame. Ohio State has landed a couple corners. So even though Ohio State landed 2 players in the last 24 hours, Notre Dame surpassed them with Micah Bell jumping on board. Pretty close. It's like 269.96 compared to 269.08. And then Texas is down there, 255.61. A lot of people have said that Texas has 3 5-star recruits and the same number of commits as Notre Dame. Their total score is 255.61, Notre Dame's 269.96, which just shows the quality of the depth. Even though Notre Dame doesn't have the 5-star guy, it shows the quality of the depth of this class. I mean, it is just a load. 17 commits, and on the composite ranking for Notre Dame, 1 5-star, 14 4-stars, and 2 3-stars.
It's crazy.
And Notre Dame is also number one on the 247's own list. So it's not just the composite. It's also on their own list. They are not number. They're not. They're going to have to get a couple more guys before they jump. But I expect by the end of the weekend they will have passed Ohio State and Texas on the rivals rankings as well. They've passed Texas with Micah Bell. They're going to need one more commitment to pass Ohio State at this point in time. So obviously that's good. You want to continue to maintain that lead every time you get a guy, right?
Yep.
Let's talk next about Micah Bell, the player. I think that's kind of where I want to go next with this, Ryan, is let's dive into Micah Bell, the player. you know, what he brings specifically to the table as a football player. We're going to pull up some film to do that. And then after that, we'll kind of get into sort of the what's next, and then we'll answer questions. So that's what we'll do here next. But obviously, a reminder for those jumping in the chat in the show late, Micah Bell, standout cornerback, top 100 player, ranked number 55 overall in the country, according to 247 Sports. He's a borderline top 100 guy on for Rivals and on and ESPN. Like I said, he's a very highly regarded player, 114 on Rivals, 128 nationally on ESPN, 55th in the country, according to 247 Sports, and he's the number 8 cornerback. Here's the thing I guess we didn't talk enough about, Ryan, that I thought is very interesting. If you just look at the 247 Sports rankings, of the state of Texas, Notre Dame has now two like top 100 defensive backs. According to 24/7, Micah Bell's the number one player in the class for Notre Dame from Texas. They actually have Micah Bell 20 spots ahead of Peyton Bowen, for context, because we know how good Peyton Bowen is.
Yeah.
So just trying to put into context of the perception of what this means for him. Awesome. And he's not a kid that is out there going to camps and do, you know, and building up his own, you know, profile. This is a quiet kid who just kind of goes out there and does his thing. So
yep.
I think that adds even more to just what this means for Notre Dame to get Micah Bell in this class. But let's do some film, Ryan. Let's get some film here. So we're going to talk about Micah Bell. A lot of this is on offense. I want to say this before we started. There's actually a couple highlights, like game highlights. I'm still trying to find some game film. There's a couple game highlights of him. There's one game that I've been able to find. But if you look at some game highlights, you'll see more of him playing corner. There's actually more highlights in some of those like TV things where they actually show him, where you can see him coming up and tackling, and we'll see some of those type of things. You don't see a ton of that here, but let's dive into the film of Micah Bell. And of course, it's going to, like I said, a lot of this is going to be on offense.
Nice little spin. Close quarters, nice quickness there, changes direction, very smooth, and then he's out.
And it's easy. This is the first clip that we watched, and we kind of talked when we first watched it. The reason this play is important, because this right here, I don't care about the track speed. This is football stuff right here, right? The cutting ability, the spin move, right? Like, this is something you don't see from a kid who's just a track guy. The vision to bounce that thing outside. And then this is the part two, Ryan. Instead of trying to just outrun them to the sideline, he reads the angle of the blocker. He sees that his blocker is inside of this guy. So what does he do? He gets back to being vertical and then just outruns the defense. He has no business not being tackled here by that guy right there. And it's just easy speed.
He's a punt returner waiting to happen, man. Make one.
That's the other part we didn't talk about, Ryan, which we should have, is this kid brings big time return ability to the team, not just the defensive aspect of it. This is a kid that can absolutely bring some return ability to the table. And these things, the reason these things are important to me, like, why are we showing you highlights of him as a running back? Because as a cornerback, that right there, that's footwork, that's agility, that's balance, that's all the things that are so important to being a cornerback. Those things translate. These are the things Lou Holtz and his staff used to look for when they'd sign 6 running backs in a class and know that some of those guys were going to move to corner. It was because of things like this. That's what you look for, Ryan. This kid's, and he's got some toughness. He's not a real physical tackler, because he's not really that big. He's a tough kid, though.
I like on this play, too. Number 4 had a perfect angle on him, and then Micah Bell just eliminated that angle. Mm-hmm. Look at it right now. 4 is in a solid spot, and then you're not anymore.
Like, he couldn't even tackle him from behind when he cut back at that point in time. It's just, it's silly. And just silly speed. Here's a little bit of the corner. I do think in the limited cornerback film we saw, his technique is just not – it's a mess. But he does show me very good route recognition and ball skills. Like, right now, that his technique gets – I mean, a better throw here, and he's beat, right? Sure. Like, that's just a reality. He's got a little bit of help inside. So he's playing outside, but he's got to close on that better. But the speed that just allows him to kind of catch up to that, Ryan, is really impressive. That's the biggest thing for me. His technique, it needs a lot of work, but that's also the thing I care the least about. I've said this a million times. I do not care about technique.
Mm-hmm.
Look how he's just like looking for the hole. Like he's jogging, waiting on a hole to open up. This is insane.
This used to drive me crazy.
Yes.
It's because it's like, buddy, why are we jogging? Why are we? Oh, that's why we're jogging. Got it. Because you can kick a second gear in a split second. Got it.
This is one of those edge runs where you're just like, he has no, how does he not get touched here?
Right. Right.
You like, yeah. Someone's at least going to knock him out of bounds inside the five, and they just don't get a hand on him.
Yep. Well, screen game.
Right. Now, the level of – now, he's playing in Texas, but the level of football he's playing against is not, like, great, great. It's good. It's not great, great, though.
Sure.
But you don't need to play great competition for the speed to translate. That's, I mean –
it's just silly, man. I mean, he just obliterates angles. Guys beat angles, and he obliterates them. It's right. A little different.
I mean, he just doesn't get touched half the time because, you know, guys are taught one thing, and you know, then it's just like, well, that didn't work out.
Yep.
When you watch game film, though, you see why he's not a running back. Oh, I mean, a full-time running back, because he's a smaller kid and he's not going to carry the ball 20 times a game. You know what I mean? He's not a guy that's going to be on the field for 60-plus snaps on offense. You will have him on the field for 60-plus snaps on defense. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm talking about. Like, he's a willing tackler. He's got to get stronger, right?
Sure. Yep.
But he's a willing tackler. He knows how to go low. It's good route recognition on this fake punt.
Yeah, it's a nice play. Kid's open for ball skills.
Yep. You see the again, this isn't great. He's flat-footed, right? Uh-huh. He doesn't use his hands very well here. You don't want a cornerback like immediately right there, immediately watch this first step right there. That's wrong. He's flat. He goes to flat feet, right? You don't want that. He doesn't do a great job sinking his hips there. He doesn't necessarily play this route exceptionally well, but he's so fast, it just doesn't matter.
Yep.
You know what I mean, Ryan? Like, there's nothing about this that I'm putting on teaching tape unless it's a, hey, you know, this isn't that great teaching tape. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And that's what happens. I mean, he's more of a running back by trade at this point in time. He's going to have to learn corner, but, you know, just the ease of his movements. Because at times it'll actually look, Ryan, like he doesn't transition really well. Because of his footwork. And then at other times when he's like loose on his feet, his transitions are exceptional. So it's a technical problem, not an athletic problem.
100%. Very well said.
This is one of those good route recognition plays that I'm talking about, Ryan. He knows he's got safety help, right? So if you look at where they are on this particular play, you can see there's a safety back here. So he knows he's got somebody kind of playing that top. And so he's playing kind of in between. He's playing, you know, that midpoint area. The guy breaks out and he just reads it perfectly and drives on it.
What I do like is we've seen a couple of times too of him at the catch point. And I know we talk about the size a little bit, right? Like, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he does show a lot of effort to break up the catch point, which is really nice to see.
And he does a nice job here of he arrives before the ball, and a lot of times kids will hit the guy. Yep. He does a nice job of kind of playing that to where, even though there's contact, it's not the kind of contact that's going to draw you a.
Look at that speed, man. That's just
he's barely running.
I know. Like, look at all his teammates are like chugging away, man, trying to get there. And he's just like, yep.
Yep.
I only made the tackle inside the 10-yard line. Oh, my
God. That elusiveness, like, these are the plays where you can see, okay, does he have the agility to play corner? It's plays like this, like that initial early run that you can kind of see.
He gets the top speed very quickly as well. That's another impressive thing. Again, right there, competitive at the catch point. Love it.
Yep. This is another area where I could see him. He's going to block a kick in his career. If he's
100%. Yeah. Probably early on in his career, too.
Really nice angle here, too, Ryan. Really nice angle to the ball. That's the kind of play that Cam Hart made against Wisconsin.
Yep.
That poor kid.
I just feel bad for some of these kids I'm watching. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, man, that's not fair.
These are plays I like, too, because you see he's got a nice leg drive. This is a football move. That's not a track move right there. That's a football move. The vision, Like, this kid's a football player. I think he's the thing now that hurts him on defense as a high school player is he's more natural on offense at this point. But his game and his body projects better on defense.
100%.
And that's part of what, you know, that's part of what coaching is like, you've got to be able to project those things.
Ooh, a little shout out to Simon. Mm-hmm. I dig it. Yeah, there's definitely effort in the run game. Like you say, he just needs to get stronger, but the effort is there.
This is an example. Like, look, his technique gets him a little bit of a problem here. Because what's the one thing a cornerback has to have to truly be elite? Recovery speed. Gets a little grabby here, stops his feet, lunges at the guy, and the guy's got him beat by three steps. And he catches up to him so fast that he has to actually start jogging. You see that? Like, he's got two, he's going really fast to catch up and then slows down because he's already there. And then speeds up again. You know, it just, you have it. Brandon Plesner asked if he's got loose hips. That's the thing. We were saying this earlier, Brian. I think you might have just joined us, but one of the things that I said was at times it doesn't, his transitions aren't real smooth at times. And it looks like maybe he is a little tight hipped, which some track guys can be, Ryan.
For sure.
But then you see other times where it's just super clean, like super smooth, which tells me again, a guy doesn't have tight hips physically on one play, but then not on the next. Either have tight hips or you don't. Exactly, because you can look like your feet are jacked up or your hips are tight if your feet aren't good. But when you see him do it, you're like, okay, it's there. He just has to improve his technique. And it's hard to be a clean transition guy, Ryan, when you flat foot.
Yep.
Or your feet get heavy in the ground.
Yep. So that's, and you can see it on a couple of those runs when he changes direction. Like, there's looseness there. Let's go back to that
on the very first play. I don't think you can do this, Ryan, with tight hips.
No,
I really don't think you can
that,
do this.
That first play is a great illustration too, because not only does he hit the spin, but then he also accelerates to the sideline. Like, you just see the change of direction.
The spin is quick though, right? Like, anyone can spin, but look how quick it is.
And then right, boop, see you.
Right,
quickly those, changes direction.
Right, yep. Those are things you need when you are if you have that kind of, you know, that agility, Brandon, because I think that's an important part, important question that Brandon is asking, because a cornerback with great speed but tight hips is going to get in trouble in some matchups when he's also playing someone with elite speed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing you kind of got to be careful of is if you're playing a guy, you know, like most receivers won't matter, but if you're being matched up against, you know, another receiver that, you know, Will Fuller, as Adoree Jackson found out, one false step against a Will Fuller and you're not catching that guy.
Sure.
You know, and that's the important thing for Micah is, you know, he does have that. He does have that ability where, you know, he won't lose that step because of his athleticism, as long as he cleans his technique up. But the one thing that I think you and I are confident in is, of all the issues that Notre Dame corners have had at times the last couple of years, I've never sought and thought, man, Mike Mickens doesn't know how to teach these guys how to play.
Sure.
It's never been that for me. And I think you agree with me on that. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt it's just upping the level of player top to bottom that Mike Mickens is working on, is doing. And this is obviously one of those things. So you really like this kid. I'm just watching a little bit of a sophomore film. Like, I haven't watched it in a while, but I think there was a little bit of him open and running in that. So that's why I've got that on. That's what I'm looking at, Ryan. Like, watching, like, oh, I can see what's on TV. I'm getting a little distracted. No, I'm just checking out a sophomore film to see if there was anything on there. Cause I remember seeing some stuff where he was clean, but I think it was from like some of the game highlights that I was able to watch. I don't think it was from his huddle stuff. A lot more physical. There's a lot more physical hits on his sophomore film.
I haven't even seen his sophomore film. I need to check it out.
Oh yeah, you got to see this play. This is kind of funny. These two plays are the ones I wanted to see. So let's pull up. This is his sophomore film. Watch this recovery speed. He's on defense here on this next play, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Look how quickly he gets on his kid. I mean, he just eats that up in a hurry.
Poor guy.
And that guy's thinking, I'm going to score. I'm not even getting to the 10, brother. Sorry.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then here's another one where he's playing tight. And you see that physicality. Like, that's a clean turn, even though his technique's a mess.
Yep. Yeah, his butt's a little high. Doesn't have any sink, but.
But look at the recovery, though.
Yep.
And again, like, as you said, he played the ball well there, you know? So it's definitely, the skills are there, Ryan. Oh, he knocks something out of that dude's helmet. You see that?
I'm watching now.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. That's a mouthpiece. Yeah. That's a mouthpiece.
He knocks something out of that dude's helmet. Here we go. Right, you see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, watch his feet. They don't really move. They get underneath him. And then he's trying to turn with his right foot underneath his left armpit, basically.
I think it looks like he's a little too worried about his initial contact with his hands and doesn't get his feet connected to him, you know?
That's not an athletic problem. That's a technical problem.
Oh, 100%.
Then he almost runs too fast. I mean, it's like.
I've never personally been too fast, so it must be nice.
Not a problem. No, not a problem for me. Look at that leg drive, though.
That's a tough run.
I love that.
He looked like work done there, man. That
was
nice.
Yeah. But he's skinny kid. He's just not a running back. The problem is, if you're going to put him a running back, which a lot of people have asked, is that you can't play him as much a running back as you can at corner. His speed can impact the game every single snap on defense.
Yep.
And you can at running back. And that's why I just say, I think the projection there, because he is a corner, the projection there is really, really excellent in my opinion.
He would just be, if he played offense, he would just be like a space player, right? Like you would try to, honestly, Brian, like right now, what would you be able to run with him in the run game? Outside zone a little bit, some tosses, sweeps. Like
Jets,
you're not going to,
I would run some inside zone with him occasionally just because I'm thinking the line's going to open up that crease, but it's not often.
Split it. You're right.
Yeah, he's maybe getting two, three of those with Tyler Buchner running their zone around it just to take some of that off of him. But you're not going to subject him to 10 to 7 to 8. Look, people don't think Chris Tyree can be a full-time guy. And Chris Tyree's a lot thicker than Micah Bell is.
Sure.
Like, he's about 30 pounds thicker than Micah Bell is. And he was about 15, 20 pounds thicker than Micah Bell coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't think Chris Tyree can be an every down back, Micah Bell is not an every down back. And that's what I say is you just have to have it. So I understand the desire that people have. You want to move the 10-3 guy to offense, 10-4 guy to offense. This kid's a defensive player. He will be a defensive player. You can get him the football. It's in the return game. That's where it's at. So Ryan, let's kind of talk a little bit about one of the things we do when we get into this, and we're going to answer some questions here. I got a refill. Sorry, everybody. Got to get the refill. One of the things that we do is we kind of talk about a what's next and so people that know. All right. So if you're on the message board, this was one of our dancing gifts on the weekend of the 17th. So this is one of them is down. So now two of the five that we have up are now known. Micah Bell was one of them. This is one that's been done for a few weeks, officially 2 weeks, but it was leaning towards it for a while. And he kind of let Notre Dame know what was going on during his visit. And it was just about, obviously getting to this this deal here. So Notre Dame has kind of had an idea that this is in the works. And I think that kind of factored in a little bit to their decision to back off Josiah Wagner, because they are going to take two corners. And I think they like where they stand with Christian Gray and then a Micah Bell being on that too. So that's kind of factored into it. So at this point in time, when you talk about what's next to corner, Ryan, it's all about Christian Gray at this point in time. It's Micah Bell and Christian Gray. That's really been the desire for the staff. That's been the 1-2 for a while. And, so now it's about adding it. And we'll talk more about it on Monday. But if you're able to get Christian Gray and Micah Bell in a class together, if you're able to do that, these are two completely different players. And that is a very important part of it. this kid brings something you don't have a lot of on the team, and that's speed, but you want to compliment him, because if you have all Micah Bells, then you run the risk of when you play a team like Notre Dame 2018, they're just going to back shoulder those little dudes all game long, right?
Or Clemson traditionally.
Yeah, 2018 exactly. Clemson, either one of that, yeah. You know, 2018 Clemson or 2018 Notre Dame. You want guys like that playing 2018 Bama. Or, you know, 2020 Bama. You don't want them playing 2018 Clemson or 2018 Notre Dame or 2005 Notre Dame or 2006 Notre Dame. You know what I mean? So you want to have kind of that combination. And you know, so obviously Christian Gray is that kind of guy. So you're talking about two potential top 100 corners. But really, as far as the what's next, it's really about Christian Gray. And we don't need to spend a ton of time on that. But that's really where it's at. And we'll find out here on Monday afternoon if they're going to be able to close on Christian Gray as well, if they're able to do so. But even before then, the reality is right now with Micah Bell in the class and knowing that you've kind of narrowed down your 2023 board to two guys, this also gives Mike Mickens a chance to really start to push harder on the 2024 class. And that class to me, like this class was so important for Notre Dame because Mike Mickens, since he's been hired, had that really solid first year, right? Where maybe there weren't any stars, but there's some really quality depth. You know, Chance Tucker being your third guy. They had JoJo Johnson. He's not in the mix anymore, but you got Chance Tucker. You got Phillip Riley. You got Ryan Barnes. We both really like Ryan Barnes a lot. Phillip Riley brings a lot of quality. That was sort of the rebuild the depth chart class.
Sure.
Then 2022 was kind of like, okay, now you need to continue rebuilding the depth chart. You needed one more numbers class, but you also want to increase the talent. They got the two corners they got. They lost Devin Moore late. They wanted a third corner in the class last year. They had Devin Moore because Devin brought some positional flexibility.
Yeah.
If he couldn't stick a corner, you can move him to safety. So they had him. And of course, Jaden Bellamy, who's more of a safety and not of the same level, but you kind of got three corners last year because as of right now, Jaden Bellamy's playing corner. But so you restored the depth chart, but last year you started to get more impact talent with Benjamin Morrison and Jaden Mickey.
Yeah.
This class was important because it was all about the talent. Now, 2024 and moving on for Mike Mickens is about now making Notre Dame a legitimate player year after year for two top corners. That's the task that he has now is, okay, you did your depth class, you know, you did your, you know, underrated but pretty talented class of you know, Mike Mickens, of Benjamin Morrison and Jaden Mickey. And now it's time to say, okay, now it's time to go out there and say, we're going to dominate, right? And we're going to land top players. And that's, if you look at the quality of the 2024 board to the 2023 board, it's very similar. Notre Dame went after big fish, so to speak, in the 23 class. And they missed on some. I mean, they wanted like AJ Harris, right? Early on, they liked Malik Muhammad a lot, but it wasn't the fit. But, you know, you had some big-time corners on the board early in 23. They went big game hunting, so to speak, in the 2023 class. And even though you missed on a couple guys you really liked, they had success so far. With Micah Bell, it's top 100 recruit. We'll see if they can land Christian Gray. That's an absolute must. But, you know, you're talking about some highly ranked guys. Caleb Presley, Justin Rhett. We talked about A.J. Harris, you know, Cole Martin, Tony Mitchell, who just committed to Alabama, Malik Muhammad, Braxton Myers, Caleb Presley. There are some highly ranked guys on the board that Notre Dame went after, and they're able to get two really good ones. Then you look at the 2024 class, and it's a similar deal, Ryan. It's you know, Caleb Beasley, who to me is my kind of my top corner on the board. I love that kid's game. He brings some size that I absolutely love. Eli Bowen may not have the size you look for, but, man, that kid can play. And for me, if I'm Notre Dame, part of the reason that I would have passed on Josiah Wagner as the third corner is because I'd rather look ahead to 2024 and have Eli Bowen be my third corner. Because sure. I love that. I mean, I project him in the slot. We can kind of protect him with his size, put him in the slot with Peyton behind him, and then just let him be physical. Because he might be the highest football IQ player on the board, 23 or 24, at corner.
Which is saying a lot for a kid that just finished up a sophomore year, right?
Like, I mean, you're talking about a kid that had 10 interceptions last year. And it wasn't because he was just getting picked on all the time. I mean, you watch that kid's film, and this kid's like, did he seriously, as a sophomore, read that route and drive on it and pick that off? Like, that kid is a really good football player. He's just small.
Yep. Sure.
I would rather him be that third. And then, you know, you look at some of the others. Emilio Agard is on the board for next year.
baller.
Dakota Fields is on the board. Braden Lee, Mike Matthews, Jalen Mbakwe is a top 10 national player. There are some big time guys on the board. If you're going to have a chance at them, Ryan, you got to be able to get on them. Or you can't wait till next March to get on those guys like you did Micah Bell, who's a late riser.
Sure.
You got to get on them early. And if you have to recruit the younger guy, this class all the way into the season, you're not able to do that. So getting a kid like Micah Bell early does allow Mike Mickens to now start looking forward even more to the 24 class. And when you consider that they've moved on from Josiah Wagner, it's Christian Gray or bust for Notre Dame at this point in time, because they have kind of shifted their focus after Bell and Gray on 24. But that's what they need to do if they're going to be able to get some of those guys, in my opinion, Ryan. So that's really more of the what next beyond Christian Gray. The focus has to be on the 2024 class.
Agree completely. I think if anybody is on the message board and has kind of followed along with some of these like little recruiting tidbits, for the most part, the corners that I've kind of covered this past week, they've all talked heavily that like, oh yeah, they're talking to me all the time. They're on me early. And that is kind of an indication that like things are obviously good with Micah Bell. And we think that things are trending or in a good spot, I should just say, with Christian Gray, right? So the fact that that momentum has happened has given you now early momentum for 2024. And it's across the board, whether it is Emilio Agard or Caleb Beasley or Jalen Mbakwe, you know, the assumed top guys on the board, Eli Bowen, Notre Dame is making it a priority to stay glued to these guys early on, to your point. Because next year, we've talked about this a little bit, 2024 cornerback class just nationally looks like a good group, man.
It does.
Like a really, really good group. So
I liked this class a lot. Corner, that was good really class. Good national corner class, like really good. And we didn't like Kamani McLean is one of the is what many people consider the top corner. I still think AJ Harris is the best corner in the class. That's just my opinion. But McLean is really good. This is a strong corner class. 24 early on, if you project it to where this class was a year ago, right on par. And Notre Dame was able to get a couple.
Maybe more depth too. Like maybe, there's a lot of guys.
There's more depth early, perhaps. Sure. Definitely. At the very least, Ryan, it's comparable is my thing, is where like last year there's some good corners, but the depth wasn't great at corner.
Right.
Right. And that's what made me even more puzzled that Benjamin Morrison wasn't ranked higher. Cause I'm like, I'm watching his film compared to some of these guys that are top 250 guys. I'm like, I can't tell you how many times I talk to a source where I'm like, what am I missing? Please tell me where I'm wrong. Cause I don't get this one. And if, you know, obviously everybody, the sources that we're referring to kind of agreed with us of Benjamin Morrison, but it's a strong class and they're going to be able to get on early. I mean, we've already seen Caleb Beasley's already been on campus. Yep. Jalen Mbakwe released a top 10 recently that included Notre Dame. It was a top 10, right? Not a top 12. It's top 10.
Yeah, I think it was top 10. Yeah.
Top 10. It had Notre Dame on it. You know, I hear a lot about Mike Matthews being interested in Notre Dame. He's kind of a corner safety type of player to me.
They have a couple of those guys on the board.
Yeah.
Kind of like those hybrid
the
players.
Taller guys. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And you know, Dakota Fields is kind of that way for me a little bit, you know, where I like him as a corner. He's a kid from California. I like him as a corner, but he's also the kind of kid that he's long and physical and can hit a little bit. If he can't stick a corner, he could be Caleb Beasley is listed at 175 pounds, but he's a pretty put together kid. He's another guy that could play nickel, could play safety, could play corner. I love him at corner. So I'm not saying you're going to move him, but it's always good to have guys can play multiple positions, because there are some coaches that would love to have four corners on the field at the same time. What I mean by that is your nickel, your two outside guys, and a corner that's good enough to play on the back end, right?
Marcus Freeman is one of those people that would love that. I mean, we literally saw it at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's what
–
I mean, they had – this past year, they had Kobe Bryant, Ahmad Gardner, obviously. But then they had the other kid, the Bush kid, that's coming back this year too that was on the field a lot. I mean, they love keeping like three or four corners on the field.
I think their safety that got drafted, I could be wrong, but I thought he started his career playing
Brian
corner
Cook
at Cincinnati. Brian Cook. Yeah. Cause
he
transferred to Cincinnati, but I thought I could have him confuse the other safety.
I think he had a lot of nickel reps early in his career. So there was definitely some man to man coverage background with Brian Cook for sure.
Yep. No doubt. So that's kind of where we're at in regard to, Ryan, the what's next. I do want to dive into some questions here for people that have questions and want to kind of get their thoughts out. If you don't have a question and you just want to tell us how excited you are about this commitment, you can do that too, right? So it doesn't just have to be questions. Michael, somebody brought in a great point, and I like this one. Michael, my guy, known Mike a long time. He said that he put in this here that Ronald Darby's best 100-meter time in high school is a 10.41. So that was as a senior. Ronald Darby was a burner.
He ran 4.3 something at the combine.
Yes, yeah, yes. Fast. I'm actually going to pull that up. So again, we're talking about a guy, you know, and he ran for the USA, like the US, one of those USA, like under 16s or something like that coming out of high school too, Ryan, I believe. But I'm going to look up and see what he did at the combine. Ronald Darby combine. Here we go. Combine results. Let's pull this up right here. Ronald Darby ran a 4.38 at the NFL scouting combine. Mm-hmm. And he had a 41.5-inch vertical.
Silly, man.
Yep. 2.414 shuttle, 6.9. 10-yard split was not as good as Eli Raridan's. It was a 1.53.
At least he has the flying 20.
He does. That's always good. He does. I'm sorry. I'm going to eventually let that go, but I'm just not right this second. But I'm looking at this here, and Michael's correct. The fastest time that I see from Ronald Darby is a 10.4, actually 10.41. But here's the thing about that 10.41. If I'm looking at Ronald Darby's stuff as a senior, it's not a lot of 10.4s. He ran that 10.41 as a junior. As a senior, his best time was a 10.5 flat. And his best time as a senior in track, his best 200 was as a senior, and that was as a 21.17. His best ever long jump was a 22.3. Think about that, because we talked about explosiveness. His best long jump was 22 feet. That was as a junior.
Which is a good number.
Mike Cabell's 24, and he also had a 23. Yeah. These are insane numbers. Like, these are incredible track numbers for a football player,
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter who we pull up in context. You know, I mean, as a sophomore, Chris Tyree didn't run track past a sophomore year. Chris Tyree's best 100-meter time as a sophomore was a 10.66. That's really moving for a sophomore. Micah Bell's best time as a sophomore was a 10.46. Like, I mean, these are incredible times. And as we saw in the football field, he's not a track kid. Like Troy Pry, I love Troy. And I think Troy is one of the most underrated Notre Dame corners in a long time, because for some reason fans just didn't appreciate how good Troy was. Ryan, you've seen a lot of all 22 films, so you've had a benefit that some of the fans didn't have, so I understand. But, you know, we've talked a lot about that. Great cover guy, didn't have great ball skills, right? But Troy, as you watched him evolve at Notre Dame, Troy was a track guy that developed into a football player.
Yep.
The thing about Micah that you see on film is Micah is a football player that also happens to be an elite track guy.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's the difference. And so that's one of the reasons you get excited about this kid, is he brings a lot to the table. But Mike, thanks for sharing that, because I didn't even think about Ronald Darby. But that's not 21.17 to 20.89. That's not really close.
Yeah, it's like it's 200ths of a second. It's crazy.
That's
a tenths of a second. I mean, yeah.
Yes.
It's flying.
Somebody said, guys, did they just open up a Whole Foods in South Bend? I love this aisle Marcus Freeman is shopping down. I love the
– fantastic.
And he's got a Brian Kelly in his avatar as a Brian Kelly. I just love that. They've had a Whole Foods since I moved back here. So I think it's
Brian, if you ever want some fun, you should go look up Jonathan Taylor's track times in high school.
What was
it? He ran like 10.4 something, but he was 210 pounds. Like, it was crazy, man. I coached against him, unfortunately. And I remember I was at the state meet where he won the 100 and the 200 at 210 pounds. And I'm like, guys, that's silly.
Yeah, that's really, really good. That's really, really good.